Well, this morning we're continuing our series, Letters to the Generations, in which we're seeking out what is God's wisdom for each stage of life. And last week we sought out God's wisdom for the elderly, and today will be our adults. Next week it'll be young adults, and finally we'll finish up the series with kids and youth. And I shared last week that we're not putting age brackets on these things, so I'm not going to stand up here and say that today's sermon is for this age to this age. I got myself into trouble with that earlier, so I'm not going to do that again. But in terms of season of life, the stage that we're talking about today is the stage of life from probably, if you have kids, that they would be in their later high school years on through early retirement years. So that's kind of the stage that we're talking about. If you're past that season, then I would encourage you to listen to last week's sermon on the elderly. If you have yet to reach that season, then probably the next 2 weeks will be more applicable to you. All right? So with that said, what is one of the God's main messages of wisdom to adults? As we seek to answer that question today, I want to start off with another question. Is more always better? Is more always better? I think some of us would answer that question, well, yes. Like, as I think about a lot of things in my life, more money would be better. More room in my house would be better. For pet lovers, more pets would be better. For those of you who like food would be better. More snacks in the fridge would be better. But a recent study from a couple of college professors found that those who put an emphasis on having more material goods, so they surveyed about 1,500 people, and what they found is that for those who said having more material goods is important to me actually had a lower happiness level in their life than those who didn't chase after more material goods. Furthermore, for those who said, well, I don't need more material goods, I just need more free time, more leisure time, what they found is that those who had high level of leisure time had the same level of happiness as those who had very few or a little leisure time. In other words, more stuff and more time do not necessarily equate to a higher level of happiness in this life. More is not always better. Well, as we think about this stage of life, the reason why we're asking this question is because as you approach this adult stage in life that we're talking about today, more characterizes a lot of it. You have more time than some of the earlier stages of life. You have more freedom to move around than what you do in later stages of life. And generally, you have more income than what you do at any other point in your life. But is more of these things better? Well, we're going to see this morning that the answer is, it depends. In other words, it depends on how you're using your additional time, your additional freedom, your additional income. Are you the one who is making the most of these opportunities that God has given you in this season? For that answer, let's turn to the first of today's passages in Acts 20, verses 17 through 24. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, we encourage you to grab one of the black Bibles that should be in one of the chairs in front of you. And like I said, we're going to be in Acts chapter 20. If you happen to grab a small print version, we'll be on page 929. And if you happen to grab a large print version, we'll be on page 1,105. And my apologies, my wife graciously brought it to my attention after last week's sermon that I'd been using the NIV black copy of the Bible that we had underneath the altar. And so if I've been giving you wrong page numbers over the last couple weeks or be reading in a different version, I apologize to you. We'll be back on track. We'll read from the ESV. I'll give you the right page numbers this week, and we'll all be reading God's Word together, okay? So Acts 20, verses 17 through 24. All right. Verse 17, it says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him." And this is Paul. "And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and our faith and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. In today's passage here in Acts, Paul begins by offering up some words of wisdom to the elders in Ephesus. And he's seeking to encourage them in their faith. And so he's going back and he's reflecting on the years in ministry that he has offered. And Paul, as he speaks these words, is probably in his mid-50s to early 60s. Scholars don't really know what year Paul was actually born, and so there's kind of a discrepancy as to how old he would exactly be. But he's probably in his mid-50s to early 60s. And so he's recalling these earlier years of ministry, particularly those serving the elders in Asia. And he remembers his trials and his sufferings as he's ministered to the Jews. He's reflecting back on the many things he has taught these elders from God's word, and how he was faithful in sharing the gospel during his time in Ephesus to both Jews and to Greeks. But now Paul reveals to the elders that after staying with them for a long period of time, he's going to leave and he's going to head down to Jerusalem. That this is the ministry that the Lord has given him. He will head down to Jerusalem even though the only thing that he knows about his trip, the only thing that the Spirit has revealed to him about his trip, is that he will be imprisoned and he will encounter great hardship. Now for us, if we were in this stage of adulthood, we would expect Paul to just pause and consider that. Paul, you've had many years of successful ministry. You've planted churches and shared the gospel in Galatia and Philippi and Thessalonica and Athens and Corinth and Ephesus, just to name a few. You've made disciples wherever you've gone. You've led people to the Lord wherever you've gone. You've established churches wherever you've gone. You've done more in this time frame of your life than most anyone else has all throughout history. You don't need to go to Jerusalem and encounter suffering in order to build your legacy. It's firmly established. Paul could easily resist the leading of the Holy Spirit here, move into a more comfortable style of living, and few, if any, would question whether Paul is deserving to kick his feet up for the remaining years of his life. Which brings us to our first point. The temptation in later adulthood is to drift away from serving Jesus towards a more self-serving lifestyle. No doubt, Paul probably felt this temptation as he was delivering this news to the elders. Either it was coming inwardly, Paul's thinking, man, the only thing that the Spirit has revealed to me is that I'm going to encounter hardship and suffering. I mean, that's not something that any of us would say, oh yeah, send me out. You tell me I'm going to get imprisoned if I go to this city, let's do this, let's head out there. So Paul's probably facing that temptation inwardly, but he's probably also facing it from the elders who have grown to love and appreciate Paul. Paul, wouldn't it be better if you stayed here and stayed out of prison, that you could continue to invest in us and equip us, and you could be a mentor to all of us as you continue to serve here in the church? And I'm guessing that as Paul endures this temptation, that he is not alone for those who are in this stage of adulthood. And this isn't just relegated to pastors either, that many adults in this stage of life experience the temptation to devote more attention to their own life and their own future as opposed to focusing more on Jesus. And that temptation is due to a number of factors which we'll put up here on the screen. First, as we mentioned earlier, you tend to have more time in this season of life than some of your earlier stages. If you have kids, they're getting close to moving out of the house or at least heading off to college. If you're working, you probably reached your max vacation time, and so you have 3-4 weeks of vacation as opposed to 0 or 1 or 2 as you started out in the workforce. Thirdly, let's be honest, in this stage of life, you're comfortable with who you are, and so you're not trying to impress everyone else. You're not spending hours upon hours at the gym because you're trying to inflate your ego or look good to other people. You're just comfortable with who you are. You're comfortable in your identity in Christ. More than likely, you've moved into your house long ago, and so there's no major house projects that come when you just move into a house. So you have all this extra time as compared to earlier stages. And the temptation is to use that time then for leisure, for relaxation, to pursue the things you want to pursue, to play a few extra rounds of golf, to go fishing a few more times, to sit in your recliner and to watch a few more TV shows, to spend more time in the garden or invest in some other hobby. One of the second temptations in the season of life is that you have more freedom. Once again, if you have kids, the kids are getting close to a season where they're not filling up your entire schedule for you. You're going to get the choice soon to choose how you want to live your day, how you want to spend your nights, how do you want to spend your weekends. But on the flip side, you're probably getting close. The next season of life is one where you probably have that same freedom in your schedule, but you don't necessarily have freedom of movement. Maybe you're dependent on health or the weather or some other family member to get you out of the house. So in this season, in short, you have the freedom to go where you want, when you want. And the temptation is to use that freedom to simply answer the question, what do I want to do with my evenings, or what do I want to do with my weekend? A third temptation is more income, that these are the best years of earning with decreasing financial obligations. And the temptation is to spend that extra income on self-serving options, like, do we go on a bigger vacation this year? Do we get a second vehicle, or a third vehicle, or a fourth vehicle? Do we pursue new hobbies? Do we get a second home? Do we do updates to the current home that we live in? Fourth, you have years of spiritual fruit to rest on. This was one of the things that Paul probably wrestled with. Man, I've already served the Lord in so many ways, and I can look back to so much spiritual fruit over the course of my life, and maybe I can just rest in that and be done and let someone else step in, take a step back to rest in past success. Or fifth, there's that temptation to avoid future sufferings. If you're in this stage of life and you've served Christ for a number of years, no doubt you've encountered times of hardship and times of suffering, and it's really easy just to say, you know what? I don't know if I want to do that anymore. I don't know if I want to have to endure the cross and all that it takes as I follow Jesus. So it's really easy to gravitate towards what is easy, what is comfortable, to choose the lazy boy over the long, hard road of following Jesus. And so like Paul, if you're in this season of life, you have two options. You can use and invest your extra time, your freedom and income into more comfort and a higher standard of living. Or you can invest your extra time, your freedom, income, and years of experience into a life of taking up your cross and following Christ as you make disciples. And now when you weigh those two, when you weigh, do I want luxury and ease and comfort, or do I want a life of hardship and suffering? I think it's very easy to say, well, man, you make this so simple. Of course I want the life of comfort and luxury. What crazy person chooses the path of hardship and suffering? But look at where God's Spirit is leading Paul. Paul says in verse 22 that he is constrained by the Spirit, or bound in the Spirit, to go to Jerusalem. In other words, Paul says, because I placed my trust in Jesus, my life is now bound to wherever the Spirit leads me. And the Spirit isn't leading me into a life of comfort. It isn't leading me into a life of luxury. It's leading me towards Jerusalem, where there'll be hardship and imprisonment and suffering. The Spirit is leading me to continue to serve Jesus as I share the gospel with others. And just in case we would tend to think, well, maybe Paul heard the Spirit wrong. Maybe the Spirit just used that to get Paul to go to Jerusalem. Here's what would happen from this point on in Paul's life. Not what happened throughout all of Paul's life. Here's what happened from the moment that he left Ephesus to go to Jerusalem till the end of his life. Paul was kidnapped. He was severely beaten several times. He was threatened. He was arrested multiple times. He was put on trial. He was ridiculed, and he endured shipwreck. That was Paul's later years of life. And so you may be asking, well, why would God allow Paul to go through all of that for choosing the godly decision of following him? Why wouldn't the Spirit just let Paul rest on his past accomplishments to avoid the suffering of what was to come? Why wouldn't God just let Paul live a self-serving life for the rest of his time here on earth? To say, Paul, you've served me in so many ways. Just take it easy. You can rest. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I'll greet you at the heavenly gates. And the answer is this: that Jesus died to both forgive us and free us from a self-serving lifestyle. Once again, Jesus died to both forgive us and free us from a self-serving lifestyle. Therefore, the Spirit of God in Paul isn't going to let him take a step back and fall back into his former way of living, to fall back into a life of luxury and leisure and comfort. Rather, he's going to continue to lead Paul down this same cross-filled path that Paul has been on ever since he trusted in Jesus on the way to Damascus. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's assembling a list of all the ways that sin will increase in the last days before Christ returns. And notice what the first one on the list is. Paul writes, he says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self." As we think about all the ways that sin increases in the last days, I'm sure that most of us aren't just thinking, oh man, the main one, the first one that comes to mind is that people will be lovers of self. They'll be promoting themselves. They'll pursue their own selfish interests. We think of much more grievous sins than that. But yet this is the one that is most on Paul's mind as he writes this passage. That people will use more of their time and more of their freedom and more of their income to serve themselves, to pursue their desires, to make their name great. That's one of Paul's greatest concerns as Christians approach the end times. Make no mistake, a self-serving lifestyle stands in great contrast to the life of the cross that serves Jesus and serves others. David Platt writes in his book, Radical, he says, "We are settling for a Christianity that revolves around catering to ourselves when the central message of Christianity is actually about abandoning ourselves." Whether or not we realize it, a self-serving lifestyle is dangerous to us. It's dangerous to our spiritual health. And that's why Jesus' death is good news for all of us here today, but especially for those who are in this season of life. Because despite the great temptation you will face in your adult years to pursue this self-serving life of luxury and comfort, Jesus has paid for all of those sins on the cross. And his Spirit is going to work in you today, just like it did in Paul back then, to free you to live the life that you were meant to live. Paul writes in Galatians 5:1, he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." For you to realize this is the new life you were meant to live in Christ, and to pursue self-interest for the rest of your life is actually to go back to the life that Christ has set you free from. He wants you to live a life of living for him and sacrificing for him and making everything about him. Not to pursue a life of comfort and luxury. The Spirit is working in you to accept God's invitations to the new life in Christ. One in which you use your additional time and your additional freedom and your additional income to build God's kingdom. To live for Christ more and more, to spend more time worshiping him, to spend more of your freedom growing in him, to spend more of your additional income to being sent out to serve him. This is the life that Christ has set us free from the bonds of slavery to live. It's the life we're supposed to live as kids after we trust in Jesus, as youth as we continue to grow in Jesus, in our young adulthoods as we continue to set the example for Jesus. It's the life we're supposed to live in our later adult years. As life we're supposed to continue to live as we near the end. Now, for some of the adults here today, this is encouraging news to you because you're like, hey, I've been doing that. By God's grace, I've been living that way. I've been giving my life to him. I've been using this extra time and this extra income and this extra freedom to make disciples and to live for Christ and to take up my cross and follow him. And if that's you, praise God. That's awesome. And God's words to you this morning would be, keep on doing that. By God's grace, keep on making the most of every opportunity. But for others, I realize this may be depressing news. Because you may have been looking forward to this season for a while now. Looking forward to the day when you had more time for yourself, more freedom for yourself, more income for yourself. So to hear today that Jesus is trying to free you from pursuing that lifestyle, that may be idol-shattering, life-altering news to you. And so if that's the case, if that's where you fit in today as you hear these words, then I want to just point us again to Paul's words in verse 24. So let me read them again here. Paul says as he's wrestling with this choice, do I stay here and pursue a life of comfort or do I go on to where the Spirit is leading me? He says, but I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul here is weighing this value. Which is more valuable to me? Which is going to give me a greater joy and a greater satisfaction in this life? Is it pursuing this life of comfort and luxury? Or is it risking my life and enduring great suffering as I follow Jesus? And he concludes, even if following Jesus means I will suffer and may even lose my life, that is of more value than to spend my life pursuing my own selfish desires. Church, regardless of your season of life, let's not miss that today. A life of following Jesus, whatever the cost, is of greater value than to spend your life pursuing your own self-interest. To suffer for Christ's sake, to endure hardship for Christ's sake, to take up your cross for Jesus is of greater worth than any gain you can get by improving your standard of living or any hobby you will pick up. Which brings us to our final point this morning. That God reminds us that our greatest joy is in living for him, not for ourselves. And we have several things in this life, whether it's other people, whether it's commercials, advertisements, there are several things that tempt us to believe the opposite is true, that our greatest joy is in living for ourselves and pursuing what we love most. But the Bible over and over tells us that our greatest joy is in knowing Christ and making Christ known. It's in living for him. It doesn't come in more leisure time. It does not come in a more luxurious lifestyle. It does not come in more comfort and ease. And we just saw at the beginning, even science would attest to that fact. And God's word is of greater authority than any scientific research, and it attests to that fact. There's nothing that gives evidence that pursuing our own self-interest gives us the greatest amount of joy. Our greatest joy comes in knowing Christ and making him known. David Platt writes, radical obedience to Christ is not easy. And get that. It's not easy. I'm not trying to stand up here and say this lifestyle, this way of living, of following Jesus in these years of life is the easier thing to do. I'm saying it's actually the harder thing to do. For Paul, it was the harder thing to do. Radical obedience to Christ is not easy. But he goes on, he says, radical obedience to Christ is not comfort, it's not health, it's not wealth, and it's not prosperity in the world. In fact, radical obedience to Christ risks losing all these things. As we live for Christ, he calls us often to give up all those things. But get this, but in the end, such risk finds its reward in Christ, and he is more than enough for us. Christ is more than enough for us. As we envision what we want this adult stage of our life to look like, let's not push Christ out. Because you're going to end up more miserable. And you're going to end up suffering in even greater ways than what you can envision. Whereas a life of living for Jesus is filled with more joy, even in the midst of that suffering. Because our reward is we get more of Jesus. And so having been reminded of this truth, let us leave behind this idol of a self-serving lifestyle, this lifestyle that we've coveted for so long, and pursue the greater joy in living more for Jesus. As we do, I want to turn our attention to Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. We're going to put it up here on the screen here in a little bit, but you're more than welcome to turn to it in your Bibles as well. But last week, we talked about this mantra for the elderly of one more, of what would it look like, knowing that God's not done with you yet, to live, to do one more thing for Christ in God's grace. And today, as I was thinking about this, I think Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 kind of gives us that short and simple way for us to live in light of the gospel in these adult years. Paul writes in this passage, he says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." To understand that because Christ has died for you, because he has called you to a new way of living, which is actually filled with freedom from who you once were, he invites us to shed the temptation of a self-serving life and instead seek to make the most of every opportunity. So as we seek to apply it to these adult years of life, here are a few challenges to making the most of every opportunity by God's grace. To making the most of your time by continuing to grow in Christ. To use this extra time to grow in Christ. And I know many of us, when we think of extra time and how we live for Jesus, we tend to think of, well, what do I do? What can I do in this season of life? But I want you just to stop and pause for a moment and to consider, how can you use this extra time to continue to grow in Christ? How can you use this extra time to know him more? Whether spending more time in God's Word, spending more time in prayer, investing more in community with others, committing to being faithful here on Sundays and to invest in corporate worship, what are the ways that God can grow you more in this season? What are the ways you can use this time to spend and invest in your relationship in Christ? Secondly, to make the most of your freedom by pursuing community with others. As we mentioned, you have the freedom to essentially go where you want, when you want, for the most years in this season. And we talked earlier about hobbies. Hobbies are not a bad thing. God has given us these passions in life. And my encouragement is, as you think through these hobbies in this season of life, to leverage them to spend time with others. If you love fishing, take others fishing with you. If you love riding motorcycles, take others on a motorcycle ride with you. If you love to garden, garden with others. If you love to eat, have others over to your house and eat with them. Leverage those opportunities to grow in community, to be around other believers, to encourage them, to let them encourage you. Third, to make the most of increased income, to give more generously to the work of God in the world. Over and over we see that for those that God blesses financially, it comes with the added expectation that they will give generously. That God entrusts income to them, so they will give more generously of the work, not to spend more on themselves. So the challenge is to use the increased income in this season of life to give more generously, to invest more in God's work, to be sent and to send others out to make disciples. And fourth, to make the most of past spiritual fruit by investing in others. That instead of saying, you know, okay, I've accumulated a lot of accomplishments to my name by God's grace through his power, and we're just going to close that book and say we're done. But instead say, you know what? I've accumulated all these years of joy, of investing in others, and I know what not to do, and I know what to do. And now I'm going to use these experiences, use the ways that God has grown me, use these trials to invest in others, to mentor others, to disciple others. To make the most of past spiritual fruit by investing in others. Those are just some simple ways that you can make the most of every opportunity by God's grace in this season of life. And for the rest of us not in this adult stage of life, here are some ways I believe we can be applying this passage as well this week. First, similar to last week, to repent of negative stereotypes regarding adults that we have encouraged. For those who are younger than those in this stage, we tend to have stereotypes of or things, negative thoughts that we think of this generation, whether they're our parents or our grandparents. Those who are older, we also tend to have negative stereotypes of this generation because they didn't quite measure up to what you thought they were supposed to be. And we need to bring those before the Lord. And once again, just like we talked last week, these negative stereotypes, although they are promoted widely in the culture, are not helpful in the church. They don't help us to see people created in God's image. They don't help us to encourage others. They don't help us to love for others and care for others. They have no place in the context of community. And so to say we're sorry for advancing those, for saying sorry that we believe those, and to ask God to forgive us. Secondly, to set aside our own selfish desires that are often met by adults. What I mean by this is, as adults in this season of life tend to pursue a life of luxury, they take more extravagant vacations, they spend money, they go out to eat more, those things. You know who tends to benefit? All the other generations. For example, in our family, we have both my parents and Jen's parents travel more in this season. They give more. They take us out to eat more. And it's really easy for us just to say, man, this is great. Free vacations for us, free meals for us. But part of that's because we have selfish desires, too, that we're seeking them to meet. And if our goal is to encourage them to make the most of every opportunity in this season, and at the same time, we're also saying, hey, I want you to do this for me, we can't do both. We can't encourage them to live for Christ and also at the same time say, I'm encouraging you to take more extravagant vacations and take us with you or to take us out to eat. And so we need to ask God to forgive us of our selfish desires so that way we can do number three, encouraging adults to keep finding their joy in living for Christ. To keep reminding them over and over and over, your identity is not in your finances. Your identity and joy are not in having more stuff. Your identity, your joy are not in having more free time. Your identity and your joy are in Christ. And we want you to pursue those things. To our adults here in the church, we want you to pursue those things. We want to come alongside you and encourage you and point you to the greater joy that is in Jesus. And when you suffer, we'll be there with you. We'll walk with you. We'll comfort you. We'll encourage you. Because we want you to have this life in Christ. And fourth, to seek out time with adults for discipleship purposes. For us to use the wisdom that God has given this generation. To use the experiences, to take advantage of the giftings and the many experiences they've learned. God has blessed me in my lifetime with several godly men in this season who have invested in me. When I was a youth pastor in Fairbury, it was Pastor Robin and Pastor Jim. When we moved out to Denver, it was Pastor Mark and Pastor Steve and Pastor Scott. Since I moved here to Muscatine, it's been Pastor Dave. Men who are in this season of life, who have been filled with wisdom, who have been filled with experiences, who have, many ways, kept me employed here at this church. There are a lot of times that I tell people, there are some ideas. I haven't had a lot of great ideas since I've been here. But trust me, there have been a lot of bad ideas that Mr. Dave helped filter out before they even got to you guys. So praise God. Next time you see Dave, thank him, because we'd be in a lot worse shape if he wasn't around. And I'd be a lot farther away from Jesus. So my encouragement to you is to take advantage. Not in a bad way, but take advantage of the ways that God has equipped this generation, the wisdom that he has poured out upon them, the love
that they have for Christ and the church and for you. And ask them, would you disciple me? Would you invest in me? Would you take time out to pray for me? Could I take you out to eat? And you can just, I'll write out 3 or 4 or 5 questions that I would love for you to answer for me as I approach this next season of life. Let us all be making the most of every opportunity we have in Christ. And so as we conclude today's sermon, I want to leave you with one more quote from Platt's book, and it's this. He says, at the end of our life, we will not wish we had made more money, acquired more stuff, lived more comfortably, taken more vacations, watched more television, pursued greater retirement, or been more successful in the eyes of this world. Instead, we will wish we had given more of ourselves to living for the day when every nation, tribe, people, and language will bow around the throne and sing the praises of the Savior who delights in radical obedience and the God who deserves eternal worship. To our wonderful adults here at First Baptist, may God help you believe this morning and moving forward that this is true. And may He work in you to make the most of every additional opportunity He gives to you in this season. Let's praise God, and let's go before Him in prayer. God, we come before You, and we thank You for this generation in our church. We thank You for the many years that they have invested in their relationship with You, for the trials You've helped them overcome, for the joy that You've given them, for the salvation that they have in You. And Father, we pray that has overflowed into our lives. That, Father, that many of us, if not all of us, are closer to Jesus because of the men and women that have made up this generation. And Father, we pray that as they move through this season of life, that, Father, that they would be able to, by Your Spirit, resist the temptation to move towards a more self-serving lifestyle. And instead, they would see and believe and know and experience the joy that is found in living for You, in giving all of their lives to You. And so, Father, with their increased time and their increased freedom, with their increase in income, Father, they'd be turning to You and seeking You as to how they can make the most of every opportunity. And Father, we pray that for the rest of us, that we would come alongside them and encourage them to live this way for You. Father, we thank You again for this generation. We ask that You would continue to bless them and that You would bless us through them. We love You. We praise You. We thank You for Your word. And we thank You for the ways that You're going to change us as we apply this word in our lives moving forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.